Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be in this beautiful presence of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. I'm excited about going home, aren't you? I'm not talking about Paraland now. I'm talking about heaven. I'm excited because I don't have too much longer to wait. Some of you may not think that this ever is going to happen, but I'm promising you right now, the Bible says there's going to be a rapture, and in the moment of a twinkling of the eye, my Jesus is going to take a bride out, honey, and I'm going to be in that bride. I don't care what it takes to be in the bride. I'm going to be in the bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just glad everybody's here tonight. I'm glad to see Brother and Sister Hodges. They're from my home church, and they take care of my family while I'm gone. And it's good to see people that you love and respect, and they back the ministry. And every time I go home, Sister Hodges grabs me and tells me what's going on, and then wants to know where what's been going on in revival. And I kind of like that, you know, because my mama lives. And I'm not saying she's only be my mother, but my mother lives about 5 hours away from me, and so I don't get to share too much with her unless it's on the telephone. So I was glad when they told me that there was a good possibility that they would be here this weekend. I'm glad to see them. See, they're Pentecost too, the real kind of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand up, Sister Hodges, and wave at everybody. I know it's embarrassing and everything, but see, that's a real Pentecostal lady right there. Hallelujah. Stand up and wave at everybody, Brother Hodges. That's a real Pentecostal man. Some of you young men want to know what it looks like to be a real man? Go ahead and look at that right there. Hallelujah. I've got a piece of paper in my hand before I preach tonight, and I just want to go through a few things. I want to thank everybody for being faithful. I like to do that, but there's one thing that the Lord spoke to me about this morning, this evening actually, and I'm 43 years old, and I do make mistakes. In fact, I made that comment this morning that I've been known to make them, and I'm going to make them next week probably, you know. And I said a word this morning that I should not have said. The Bible does not say you're not supposed to say it. But I got to praying this afternoon, and the Lord just kind of quickened me about it. And I don't want any young people going out and repeating words that might not be beneficial to them. And I use the word faggot. Okay? Now, to use that word, it might have become as a horror to some of you that a preacher would say that. And maybe I should not have said that. Not that word. But if you'd ever been in prison, you would understand why some of my words are not free world words. Those are words that we used to use in the penitentiary. I've been in the penitentiary, in case that some people might be shocked at that. But those are words that we used, and they have stayed with me. And I saw so much of this homosexuality in the prison system that I have a tremendous amount of anger and hatred towards the spirit that the devil has loosed upon our planet. I don't like sin anyway, but when it comes to that, that is the most devouring, nasty, ungodly thing I think a man or a woman could ever do. So, I want it on tape. Yeah, I'm one of these preachers I have to keep saying, is this tape running, please? I want it on tape, young people. I would not recommend you using that word. And I apologize to the church. No, Brother Shirley does not even, he's shocked as can be. Because I don't apologize for much. But when Lord tells me I might not have done right, well, I'm going to apologize because I'm going home one of these days. Am I forgiven? Okay. I hope so. I was fixing to say, man, that's about the best I can apologize right there. Now, there's another word I used. Double dog dare. And so a man has given me the definition to issue a defiant often insulting challenge to someone to do something. I double dog dare you to swim across that river. That is the sentence. I really don't see that much wrong with that. I double dog dare some of you to speak in tongues tonight. I'm issuing a challenge to some of you. You need to swim across the river. You need to wade out in the Holy Ghost and get in the river with me tonight. Hallelujah. Everybody say praise the Lord. Third of all, I have just started a bulletin, what I'm calling a newsletter. And I have been under the idea for about 2 years. The reason is that wherever I'm going and they're experiencing revival, it has often bothered me that we are in our last days. The enemy's trying to isolate revival churches. Revival used to be that when Pentecostals got together, everybody was having revival and everybody loved it and everybody was hugging each other's necks. And now, you know, this church is sitting over here and that church is sitting over there. And so you may think that there is no revival except right here. And there may be somebody in Tennessee that says, well, there's not any revivals left and we're just going to go. And so through the counseling of Brother Gurley, my pastor in Pearland, and some more elders of mine, they began to tell me a couple of years ago that I needed to tell people what was happening. So I'll start a book, in which that has been done. And then another elder here in Louisiana that I respect quite very, very much, he told me, he said, about the television thing, you need to put that out as a pamphlet. So that is in the process of being done. And then I had a businessman in Houston that is a multimillionaire. In fact, I'll tell you, he told me that he paid $350,000 tithes last year. And I've got him full of the Holy Ghost, but I just hadn't got him baptized in Jesus' name. He's a friend of mine, and he knew me when I was growing up. I was the best man in his wedding. And then that night, his wife, after I was the best man, told her husband, "You will never see this man again." He said, "Why?" She said, "He is too wild for you now." And I never saw him again until I became a preacher, and he became a stockbroker. And we both worked for Safeway. So under different types of leadership here, and I'm going to offer it to this church. If you want to be a news bulletin coming to your house telling you, now this church, I'll tell you right now, has already been produced, the very beginning has already been produced in another bulletin. It's already gone out. But now, see, the bulletin is going to be about this church because this is the revival where I'm at. I don't know that much, but I'm also going to include in there different spots of that people that I trust that are having revival, and they're calling, they're saying. So it'll let everybody that's taken this bulletin understand that this church over here and that church over there and this church over here, we're all having the same kind of revival, and God is doing mighty works. If you want, I'm not forcing anybody, just I'm going to throw it out. There's a pad on that little table in the back there, and a pen. Put your name and address, and we'll mail you the bulletin as soon as we produce the next one. That's going to let you know, and see, right now, people are going to know in Tennessee, and they're going to know in California that Living Way here in West Monroe is having revival, that people are getting the Holy Ghost, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want that, fine. All right, that's it. Everybody say praise the Lord. Glad to have the congressman here tonight because we need people. I'm not into politics that much, but we need people that are. And I'm not saying we have to have them totally Pentecost right now. But vote the way the Lord wants you to vote, and you'll begin to get criticism. But the thing about it is, remember this, Congressman, when you vote with the mind of Christ, the devil can't stand it. But the devil can't stop the mind of Christ. And we're living in a day where we need men with backbones, not pocketbooks. that'll say, honey, I'm going to tell you, abortion's still wrong. It's in the Bible. You're not supposed to kill your kids. Homosexuality in the military, that's wrong. We're not even supposed to be talking about it. We need men that'll stand up in the last days and look a president in the eye and say, I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't agree with you on these issues. And one of these days, it's going to turn around. I'm telling you, America, we better get ready for a massive move of God, because I think our world is saying, it's time to wake up and smell the roses, honey. We need a move of God in the White House. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm not into it too much, but I'm going to tell you. It's got to be tough to be in that position, representing everybody, a majority, and then having all these other people say, well, we'll give you 10 grand to vote this way. Knowing you got the same bills as everybody else. Knowing that, did you notice when I said that? You got the same bill as everybody else? Because he's on the phone, you better vote this way. Maybe it's Hillary, I don't know. Hey, I just got through reading in the paper. She said it took Bill Clinton to raise our kids. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Billy Bob, come on down there and support my kids. I ain't never seen him knocking on my door. I wished he would. I wish, if we could ever get her full of the Holy Ghost, I believe he'd get it. Hallelujah. She needs it. My Lord, she needs it. Better get off that before I go to preaching about her. Any woman won't take her husband's name until she figures out he's fixing to be the president. Something ain't right. I'm going to tell you what. When I got married, first thing I did was say, your name is not Pope anymore. Drop the P, move the E over, it's Poe. Hallelujah. Everybody say praise the Lord. Let's get our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 14th chapter. And I want to read from the Word of the Lord, starting at the 13th verse. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Tonight I want to preach simple three little words, and they did. And they did. Turn to somebody on your left, I guess, if you can. If you're sitting on the wall, you won't be able to. Tell them, I'm sure glad to see you in church tonight. Turn to two or three people and shake their hand. Get friendly, you know, smile a little bit. And tell them, I'm glad you're in church tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's have a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. What you say? I said, let's have a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. What do you say about that? I want the Holy Ghost to fall on everybody in the building. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You may be seated. How many going to get with me while I preach tonight? Now, I've done the unthinkable. They don't think I can apologize for anything. I've already apologized. I've gave Hillary a pretty good recommendation that she needs the Holy Ghost or she's going to go to hell. And a lot of people don't like that, you know. But I'm going to lay all that aside, and I think it's time for the Holy Ghost to move, and let's get in it. What do you say about that? Let's get our minds back on the Holy Ghost and a moving and operating. There's people here that ain't got the Holy Ghost. They need to see you speak in tongues. Because if they see the church speak in tongues, they'll probably want to speak in tongues with you. Labor Day. Now, why do they call it Labor Day and nobody works? Can't believe it. I don't even think you can go to Walmart on Labor Day no more. I used to just go to Walmart and watch people work. Everybody else says, I'm off on Labor Day. Tonight, we serve a Jesus. You know, Jesus is God. Are we on agreement with that? Jesus is God. There ain't no other God. There's no other God that's got any power. There's a lot of gods in this world, but there's no other God of this world. Let me tell you what. There's no other God above, beyond. He said, you know, beside me, I don't even know one. And if God don't know another God, there can't be another God. Who are you serving tonight? I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving the living God Almighty. I'm serving the best thing that ever happened since the creation of the universe. I'm serving the God that spoke and light became light. I'm serving the God that spoke and a tree came up out of the ground. I'm serving a God that spoke and the animals just appeared on this planet. That's who I'm serving. Hallelujah. And if there's somebody in this building tonight that needs anything from the Lord, do you not think that He is strong enough to give it to you? He can do it. Everybody say that with me. He can do it. Now, I'm not going to be able to preach this message, but I'm going to throw y'all a curve right here. Then one of these days, if I preach it at a conference or something, probably not, but if I did. There's four levels of faith. Four levels. Let me put your fingers up. Four levels. And here are the levels of faith that are found in the Bible. First, you got to believe that He is. That's level one. Then you got to believe that He can. That's level two. Then you got to believe that He will. A lot of difference. And then you got to get so powerful in faith that you hear Him say, I am. So chew on that one. You hear people say, He can. Well, of course He can. Look around. I mean, when you look at a tree, He can. But Pentecost, we need to be at least in the third level to where we quit preaching about what He can do and to preach about what He will do. Let's give the Lord a hand clap on what He will do. He will heal the sick. He will open blinded eyes. He will raise the dead. He will heal your body. He will save your soul. He will. Say He will. You may be seated. Jesus had just finished a trip and He had heard some discouraging news. John the Baptist was dead. Jesus loved old John, and He left, told His disciples, let's get in a boat. I'm really distraught about what has happened to John. The Bible says He went to the other side of this sea and walked out into the desert. I don't know why Jesus walked out into the desert. But He left the boat and walked out into the desert. Just begin to walk. I guess sometimes, if you'll notice how human He really was, that there was times that some of us, we get so disturbed about things, we'll just walk out of the house. It may be a few moments in time before we realize that we're walking down the street. And we don't know why we're walking down the street, but we are. And Jesus walked out into the desert, and His disciples begin to follow Him out into this desert. But some very important things begin to happen. For the cities all around him begin to hear, all that were around this desert, that Jesus Christ was in this desert. I believe it is in Mark or Luke, possibly in Luke, where the Bible says that all the cities begin to hear that he was in the desert. And so they begin to leave their houses and begin to walk out into the desert. They picked up their crippled kids. They picked up their sick kids. They picked up their families. They got mother together and daddy together. And everybody just began to realize, I got to get out in that desert because Jesus is out there somewhere. They didn't know where Jesus was, for they were not with the 12 when he got off the boat. They didn't know exactly where he was going to go when he left the desert. But they did know he was out there in that desert somewhere. And they began to take their families and hold hands with their children. And they locked out a vision of that desert. They began to look at that desert, knowing that when they went in that desert, they were going into a place that was very dangerous. They was going in that place because they knew this desert. They knew that you could die in the desert. They knew that there was no water in the desert. They knew that the sun would be hot in the desert. They knew these things because they lived by it. And yet their needs and their desires were so great that they made up their minds, I don't care about the desert anymore. All I'm going to do is I'm going to get close to Jesus. Tonight, there's many of us that live, and it seems like there's always an occasion that we will find ourselves in what we call a spiritual desert place. A place where, it I may say so, there are some that say, my prayers aren't getting answered. My praise doesn't seem to do anything. And my worship doesn't seem to go anywhere. And it's a desert. I don't even feel like doing it anymore. But you know what? I'm going to show you tonight how to shrink the desert. I don't like going through trials. Does anybody here like them? Man, I mean, if I got up in the morning, brother, and there was a letter in my mailbox that said, Brother Paul, you're officially going into a trial, I wouldn't read it. You hear me now? I'd be going, well, I don't read that. I want to read that. McMahon just gave me $1 million. You know, y'all don't need it? Boy, I do. Turn the volume up there a little bit, brother. We got some people who got their hearing aids down. If Ed McMahon's out walks up to your door and you don't want it, you just direct him over to Pearland. Tell him, go on over there, Ed. There's a guy that really likes that kind of money. I'd like to be a millionaire for at least 40 or 50 years, you know. Just try it out. I don't know if I'd like it or not, but I think it'd take me that long to figure out if I did. I'd hope it'd make me 83. By then, I ought to know. But, you know, I don't like going through trials. I don't like, I mean, there's just something about when you know you're in a trial, it makes everybody down. Have you ever been around, don't raise your hand, but have you ever been around somebody that every time you met them, you walk up and say, hey, man, how you doing? And every time you should, man, I am going through a trial. God have mercy. If you knew what has happened to me this whole year, if you just knew how tough it has been, and you're sitting there all pumped up, and pretty soon you'll find yourself, I know, brother. That reminds me my dog got fleas. It reminds me I'm going to have to put deer's bed on my yard. I mean, there's just people that every time you meet them, it's like, well, how you feeling today? I've still got that case of pneumonia I've had 31 years. My God, you know, it's like, get a life. Come on, you know. I mean, they put that stuff on you. You'd be standing there in a checkout line begging Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Help us. Help this lady in front of me. Help this lady in front of me. I just don't want to listen to this man. I know people like that, that every time you tell them, my Lord, isn't the Lord good? They'll go, yeah, to you. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I must not be serving the same God because He don't bless me like He does you. Well, if you got off your rear end and worship Him like I do, He might bless you like He blesses me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. I wouldn't give blessings to somebody who wouldn't stand up either. I mean, I got a 10-month-old boy, and he knows how to stand up. And you know what Daddy does? Brags on, that's it, baby. That's it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And I pick him up. Oh, yes. And my little daughter now, she's sick. She's going, Daddy, I can walk. I mean, if you go up to your father and say, Daddy, I need a dollar, and he gives you a dollar, and you go, well, thanks a lot, punk. When you go back up there, he's not going to say, well, hey, yeah, I'll give you another dollar. He's going to look at you and say, I don't think so. Daddy, I need $5. Get a job. I'm going to go out with the girls. So what? But see, here's what it is about worship. When you go up to your daddy, and I mean that daddy can have an arm this big around, and you go up to daddy and say, Daddy, you're the strongest man I know. And my eyebrows go up, my chest will throw out.
That's right, baby.
His voice goes down. A boy can walk up to his dad and say, Dad, you know, you're bad to the bone. In fact, I always know that if I ever get in trouble, you're going to be there. You can whoop anybody in the village. He'll be going, that's right, son. Now what you want? Uh-huh, go ahead on. But if you walk up to him and don't ever tell him nothing, you know, all you young people need to keep telling your mom and daddy, I love you. My mother's in her 60s. I tell her all the time. Every time I talk with her phone, Mom, I love you. You know what? I can get anything I want with my mama. Hallelujah. Now, I don't abuse the credit, but if there's a dire need. See, that's the way you get things from Jesus. You don't go around telling everybody what He ain't done for you lately. You need to get your mind right and tell everybody what He has done for you lately. You need to tell everybody, you know, I had a headache the other day and my Jesus healed me. I had back pain the other day and I got to praying to Jesus healed me. I got to thinking that I have a neck problem, but Jesus healed me. You know what's going to happen the next time you get in trouble? Jesus is going to heal you because He knows you're going to tell somebody. I said He knows you're going to tell somebody. Let's stand and clap our hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like saying things that Jesus did for me. Because it blows some people's mind. Plus it increases my faith. Everybody say, increase my faith. You know, we sometimes think we have enough. We're Pentecost. I mean, look at our dresses. Look at our attire. Can't you tell we're the faithful pew? The proud. Well, that last one might be on us a little bit, pride. Jesus brought me out. I hope I never get like that. I hope I always got one hand down. He brought me out. He's going to bring you out too. Come on, get a hold of His hand. Hallelujah. But see, a lot of people think, well, I don't need any more faith. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in here that is an apostle? If they was, they wouldn't be one raise their hand and be like, what? You know what the apostles told Jesus? Increase our faith. The apostles knew, I got it. I got what I thought was enough of it till I saw you doing stuff. And I ain't got near enough to what you got. I got to have more faith to do what you're doing. That's the reason Brother Paul preaches on faith so much. If we'll get to believing what we preach and preach what we believe and live both spectrums of it, you know what? Our faith will begin to be increased, and it doesn't take long that all of a sudden God starts demonstrating in the church exactly what you believe He's going to do. He's going to show you what you believe.
Hallelujah.
And these people begin to walk out in that desert because there was a need. The need was not, I'm sick. The need was, I'm sick until I get to Him. See, a lot of us go, came to church, I'm sick. God, I'm leaving. How are you leaving? Sick. You ain't been close enough to Him yet then. Have you ever wondered how a preacher can always preach and we hardly ever get sick and we eat the same food y'all do? Have you ever noticed that? Everybody can come.
Brother Shirley, I'd love to be there tonight. I got a crick in my neck.
Well, sister, come on, God will heal you.
Oh, Brother Shirley, you just don't understand. It's a real crick.
Come on now, I'm just going to preach a little while. I'm going to dig you on it a little bit. Brother Hurt, Brother Shirley, I would have come in that five service last night, but got a hangnail. And Brother Shirley, it bled. It really was bleeding. And yet, preachers, if we have, you know, accidentally get the flu or something, have you ever noticed that a preacher walks out and y'all are going, preach? I was in a revival one night. And I preached, man, I mean, it was like preaching that wall. And I just kept preaching. I thought, I'm breaking this church in the name of Jesus Christ or they'll fire me. And we just kept preaching. And the devil started attacking us, man. We was having to stay in this little bitty room. And my wife was with me then, and my daughter was with me. And Jesus, help me. They put us in this little room, and there was already rat droppings everywhere. And my wife sleeping on the floor, and a rat run across her. And she jumps up in this half bed with me, and I'm going, oh, I thought the devil jumped on me. You know, she said, a rat jumped on me. And I said, oh, Jesus. And so I get on the floor, and I'm daring any rat. I'll kill you, rat, you know. And so my wife takes the little half bed, and there was no place to keep our clothes, and we was hanging them off them. I went to Walmart and bought some of them things, you know, you hang on the door, and they come out like that, because I knew I wouldn't need them, but for that revival, I could take them back at Walmart. And so I just went up there. I mean, I don't want them. I just want to use them for 6 or 7 weeks. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Y'all act like y'all don't do it. Y'all right. Hey, they making money on my money. About 6 weeks, they making interest. Hey, I'm paying for it in the long run. And so, I used a clock in a 9-week revival. And then when I left town, I took it back. And the lady said, what's wrong with it? I said, nothing. Revival closed. But boy, I mean, and we were just, that's one thing about it, man. You keep one of them alarm clocks forever. It only costs you about $3, and if it breaks, take it back. Use it 20 years and take it back. Quit running. The spring broke. So, but the, you got the receipt? Yeah, but it's kind of yellow. But see, I'm a firm believer in getting your money's worth. And that's when I preach so long. No. But I heard somebody say, cut the boy's check then. But see, I got to preaching. The devil kept telling me, I am going to beat you. And I woke up one morning, and I was just shaking. And I couldn't talk. And I thought, oh, my Lord. And so I told my wife, I said, man, I think I'm getting the flu. Something's wrong. I went to the pulpit and I preached that night. When I got out of the pulpit, I wrapped up in a blanket and was going to try to sweat this flu away. And I just began to sweat. My little daughter was putting water on my head, you know, and I was just sitting there shaking. Next day I woke up and the preacher calls me and he says, man, you all right? I said, no, something's wrong with me. I said, the devil's attacked me physically and this just don't happen. So they took me to this doctor, to the emergency room, because I couldn't stand. I was getting delirious and stuff. And the doctors, they opened up my eye. The first thing this Indian did, he opened up my eye, and he looked in it, and he said, open up your mouth. And when I did, he said, uh-oh. I said, what is it? He said, don't talk. You cannot talk for 6 weeks. I said, for what? He said, you have a terrible bad case of strep throat. And I'm going to give you a shot. And I said, no, I don't do them things, man. He said, you're going to do this one. And so I looked at that other preacher, and that other preacher said, do it. Don't worry about me. And I said, a shot of what? And so this lady comes in there, and she has a needle about, what it looked like. And the white stuff that was in it was just, it looked like, man, this is like something for a cow, you know. I was hoping she'd walk on by me. And she stopped right in my cubicle, and I said, whoa, what's that? She said, you know, show your hip, you know. You know what they tell you. And so I said, oh, my goodness. I said, is that all that's supposed to be for me? And she said, shh, you're not even supposed to be talking. That means you can't go, ouch. And so she drove this needle. Some of them women I don't think really went to school. I knew something was wrong with her when she looked like this. Yeah, right before, you know, not really. But I'm telling you, man, I took that hip. You know how, I mean, I was a grown man, but I still don't. I mean, I'm not into that, you know. And I, you know how you'll go and just think, well, I'm just barely going. And she just like, and I thought for a minute, I thought, oh, you know, I just like, here it comes. Here. And then she said, prepare yourself. My God, I am prepared. And the hottest stuff I ever felt inside my body, it was like, and then she went to rubbing on it. And I was going, no, shut up. You're not supposed to be talking. It's okay. It is eating me up. Walked out of there with a limp. But when I got back to church that afternoon, my wife said, she's loved it. See, I can't talk. And she's just saying anything, and I'm having to go write stuff down. And so she said, what am I going to do about service tonight? And it dawned on me. I said, oh, my God. I said, well, I'm preaching. She said, you can't. The doctor said, you'll ruin your voice. I said, he's an earthly physician. I said, I took the shot, okay? I did what the preacher said's fine. I did what I thought was okay. Okay, I took their shot. But if it don't work by 7:30, honey, we got to go on Jesus. You know what happened that night? I got up there, and that guy, he told me, he said, we're just going to do a little singing, and we'll, you know, do whatever, and you just wave at the crowd. We don't want them to know you're sick and everything. And then next week, you come on back, and we'll see how you feel. I got up there, and he did his little singing, and you know, and pretty soon I walked over. I said, give me that microphone. I said, I'm fishing to preach. And he said, you can't preach. I said, I can preach. You know what I did? I made sure the devil knew. I didn't care what he tried to throw me. I preached a good old hour message that night, and I never did lose my voice. I'm telling you, our Jesus has got all power. All power. All we've got to do is trust him and have faith to believe that not only can he will. And then you've got to get to a point where you hear him say, I am doing what I said I would do. These people needed something. And they began to do the most unusual thing. They walked out of the cities and began to walk into the desert. There was people from this area. There was people from this area. There was people on that side. There was people on this side. They began to come into the desert to find Jesus from all cities. They did not know where he was. They did not know how long it would take them, but they did something that's the most amazing. They got together. They didn't even know that they were doing this together. But they were shrinking the desert. For if one person had to go into the desert and begin to try to find Jesus, he might have not have never found him. But with 1,000 coming this way, and 1,000 coming this way, and 1,000 coming this way, and 1,000 coming this way, the desert started getting smaller. Because they were coming at this angle, and they were coming at this angle, and some more coming at this angle. You know what? You're sitting in a church tonight that if some people in the back would get to worshiping, and some people in the back would get to worshiping, and some people on the front, and some people on this and the platform, we can shrink this thing down to where we can find where Jesus is. And where Jesus is, there's going to be something happen. If we'll get to shrinking these deserts, you don't have to live in a desert by yourself. You don't have to walk through a desert by yourself. You just got to realize, get somebody in this thing with me. I'm going to pray till I find Jesus. I'm going to pray until something happens to me. You know, I've never been bashful about going and getting people. When I was in church, and I saw somebody struggling, honey, I wasn't going to sit over there and let them struggle. I'm going to say, come on, let's go. We're going to front. For what? You're going to hell. I mean, you're fighting the devil. You've been to backslide. You know, a lot of people say, well, Willie Poe, you don't need to be talking to people like that. Well, it's either tell them now or face them in the judgment. Some of you out there, it's like the bishop said, we've been preaching here 5 or 6 weeks now, and I ain't seen some of you at the front of it yet. I'm thinking about tonight just coming back here and getting you. Seeing what you do. If you say you got it, why don't you talk about it and profess it and stand up and use it? If you hadn't got it, why don't you come down here and get it? I mean, I want somebody when they if they see me starting to slip or slide, I don't want them to sit over there and watch me slip and slide. I want to come up and say, hey, Bubba, come here. You're about to slide. Come here. Get over here. I better leave that alone. Sister Charlie, she wasn't here one Sunday or something. I reached over and grabbed one of them, and then after church, I told somebody, I said, somebody fix that thing, man, before she gets back. But see, I don't want somebody watching me go out. You know who's going to get embarrassed? If you don't want to live in the desert, and you don't want to live in your sicknesses or your disease or your spiritual state of depressions, I mean, I'm not into this. You know, I am so depressed spiritually. I hadn't felt the Holy Ghost in a year. Why? It ain't like he's in vacationing. If you hadn't felt the Holy Ghost run down, I'm going to dig a little bit tonight, and then I'm going to preach. I'm going to always dig first. If you ain't felt nothing like, yeah, go down your backbone in this revival, honey, you better go find out where that yeah went. There is nothing, I'm going to tell you, there is nothing like feeling that run down your back. You know, they used to have this little thing at Chevron or one of them, Citgo maybe, put a tiger in your tank. And for a long time, they had these little Bengal tails, tiger tails that they'd tie onto their gas tank. It was evidence that it was in there. I mean, you could just drive up somebody and here's the tail hanging out. It was evidence I have been to Citgo or whatever it is and put their gas in my car. Why? Because you can see what's hanging out. Ain't some of us been hanging out in this revival? We've been hanging out about 10 o'clock speaking in tongues. We've been hanging out at 11 o'clock speaking in tongues. We need some more of you to tell. We need some more evidence of what's in your tank tonight. Why don't you let us see what's in your tank? Let's see if you can hang out tonight with us. Because there's some more of us going to hang out. There's some more of us going to speak in tongues. There's some more of us going to get a tremendous blessing tonight. Hallelujah. Am I redlining? Not yet. Man, I like the Holy Ghost. I lived a long time without it. I'm going to say something before I start preaching, and I don't want it to happen, but if you was ever in my condition, if you was ever in my shape, and some of you that ain't never been out in the world will be climbing that wall over there. People say, what you so wild for? What you so dead for? I heard it all the time. It's fire shut up in my bone. Well, some of y'all ain't got nothing but a little bitty match. And then you might better check it. It might just be a smoking thing by now. If there's fire shut, honey, you know what fire does to people? If this building was a catch on fire, every one of you elders would be running. Every one of you young people would be screaming, fire, 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 running and jumping all over chairs. Well, if it's fire shut up in your bones, don't get it. Don't let it be shut up. Why don't you get that fire? Get that fire working. Get that fire working. Get that fire to blazing. Let the Holy Ghost take a hold of you. Get that fire working in your bone and let it purge you. Let it rearrange your life. It's fire shut up in my bones. And then Jesus, looked up and he saw these people walking out into the desert. It was probably the most amazing thing when he looked up and here he saw all of these people. Just, he said, man, what? Did we hold revival out here or something? Did we put it out that I was coming out here? And the apostle said, no, nobody said anything. These crippled people, these sick people, these disabled, these diseased, they're here out in the desert, out in a place where they didn't even need to be. But they needed him. They did not care. They needed him, so they sought him. Some of you need to learn, it's not wrong to seek him. They made up their mind that I need him so bad that I don't care what I have to do. I will not go home until I find him. Did you come prepared for a journey? No, we didn't bring water. We didn't bring food. We didn't bring shade. And we're out in the desert. How long is it going to take? I have no idea. But here's one thing I know. I'm not going home till I find him. I'm going out there. I'm going to seek him until I find him. Because wasn't his word, seek and you shall find? Well, then some people have to get that in their minds. Well, I'm going to seek Jesus tonight. I'm going to the front. I'm raising my hands. I'm doing some seeking. He looked up and here was this ragtag group of people. Not an army. Not a big army of people that looked so high and mighty. Not a wonderful looking group to look at. But all of a sudden, surrounding Jesus are these people that looked strange, crippled, sick, diseased, depressed. Just tore up, not really looking like anything that you could make anything out of. And Jesus saw them when they got close enough to him. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. In other words, Jesus looked at these people and he said in his mind, they have gone into the desert. These crippled, these halt, these lame, these diseased, these sick people, these people have come into this hot desert. I just can't let them go home like this. The Bible says this compassion, this power of love came upon him and he looked at them and he healed them. The power began to flow. You know, they felt real strange because here they were seeking and searching and reaching, and suddenly there was somebody in the back, you know, and they said, what's he saying? And another one looked around and said, I don't know what he said, but I'm going to tell you something. My knee just got healed. I can straighten my knee out. Another girl said, I don't know what he's saying up there, but all of a sudden I can see, Daddy. I can see. Another woman said, I don't know what he's saying up there, but we're close enough that all of a sudden I'm feeling like something and a disease fell off. A cancer fell off of a face or something. If you get close enough to Jesus, there go be something happening. If you get close enough to Jesus, there's going to be something happening. If you leave this building tonight and you don't think anything happened, all I can say is you didn't get close enough to him for anything to happen to you. But if you want something to happen in your life, in a minute you're going to be able to get close enough to him. I'll guarantee you something will happen. Let's stand and clap our hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.